You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast. I'm your host, Kurt. This is episode 2 of season 4, Conspiracy. I put an exclamation point on just so I can say it like that. And listen, if you are at home or at a family member's house, start heading to the kitchen or the pantry. Or if you're on the road or out and about when you're listening to this, start heading to a store. Go pick up some tinfoil and make yourself a hat, because we are jumping right into Flat Earth. Now, for you, you're thinking, okay, we're getting into Flat Earth. For me, I'm thinking, this sucks. I've already done this episode once. I recorded this whole thing, and I went to edit it, and there was an echo in the audio, and it sounded horrible. So I'm going to redo the whole thing. So I hope I stay on track. A couple things for this one. I am going to try really hard to get away from the ums and ahs. I listened to, as I was editing the first episode, I heard how many times I said or ah and paused. So if you're watching the video, you'll notice in this one I'm wearing headphones. This seems to help me. I don't know why. It seems to get me to think more about what I'm saying. It's a weird thing, but I'm going to go with it. I am hearing the audio through there, obviously, but and of course I say. It's going to happen every once in a while. I am doing the video for this, like I did with the last one. I'm going to be doing a video along with the audio. So if you come over to youtube.com/primitive intelligence, you can check out the video. And in this one, you might want to come over and watch the video, at least if you want to see some of the stuff that I'm talking about, because I'm going to be showing the websites that I'm looking at this time. And just, it's a little more visual episode as far as the podcast goes. So I've been working on the website. It's been a little bit of a struggle. I'm having a problem with my host. I'm not going to get into any bashing or anything like that, but I've used this company for like 20 years, and their servers are just getting old and they're falling apart, and it's causing issues. The website works fine. It's on me getting into the website to upload some photos, edit the WordPress, and upload the audio files. It's been a disaster. So I've been working on that for a couple of days with them. They are telling me to wait my turn. Basically, I've been getting told by a lot of people that wait your turn. So whatever, we'll run with it as long as we can. I might have to go to a different podcasting host, actually do like a podcasting host instead of host my own, if it just becomes too much of a problem. But as far as where you can get the podcast, that has also been a little bit of an issue. Not that bad, though. It's working fine in iTunes. It's working fine in Stitcher. The RSS feed is working fine. So if you use something like Podcast Addict, like I do, if you have your own app, you can take the RSS feed, put it in there. That's working fine. Google Podcasts has got like a couple day delay, it seems like. I don't know if it's just the weirdness with the internet the past couple days that caused it, but that seems to be catching up. And Spotify, couldn't tell you what they're doing. I had to change the RSS feed just for Spotify. And even though it passes their tests and everything looks good, and if I view the RSS feed, it shows episode 401 in there. It's not displaying in the podcast when you go to download it. So I don't know what's going on with that. I got to see if I can get that to refresh somehow. I'm not sure. And I also try to get it submitted to Pandora. And I vaguely remember doing this a couple years ago, trying to get it into Pandora. I went through the whole submission process last time, and I don't think I ever heard from them. So I just redid it, and now it seems familiar after I've gone through it again. And it said at the end, thanks for your submission. Someone will look at this within 4 to 6 weeks. It's 2021. It shouldn't take 4 to 6 weeks to look at a submission. So who knows if it's going to show up there. But the best way is iTunes if you're on iPhone. Either Google Podcasts, if you don't mind waiting a day or two, it seems like, or Stitcher seems to be automatic. Or just go get that RSS feed from the website. You can also download it from the website, or you can go to YouTube and watch it at youtube.com/primitive intelligence. So lots of ways that you can listen to this podcast. Maybe it's too complicated. I don't know. I just like giving people options. So with that being said, you're number 3. I haven't gotten into the actual episode yet. We're going to get into the meat and potatoes of this one, Flat Earth Theory. This one kind of comes with a sad ending. It's not the end of Flat Earth. But you'll see. That's going to start right now. Flat Earth. this is an interesting conspiracy theory for me. So people don't consider a conspiracy theory. They just go, oh, it's just a weird thing that people believe. But there is, it is. If that makes sense. But before I get into all that, I know there's a lot of bad connotation towards conspiracy theories. I touched on this in the first episode, but I want to say this. I have nothing against anybody who believes in flat Earth. I don't, not to sound callous, I don't care what you believe. That's for you to believe, right? You don't care what I believe. I don't, it doesn't change my perspective of anything. If you can prove me wrong, go for it. I think it'd be fantastic if all of a sudden we lived in a completely different world. I'm not trying to cast dispersions on anybody, and I'm not trying to put anybody down with this. I'm just going to put up the facts. I'm going to talk about why it doesn't sit with me for flat Earth. We'll look at it from the you're crazy standpoint, and then a little harder to do on this one, but look at some of the merits and the positive aspects of this theory. We'll also look at how it ties into team sports mentality and how that had kind of a tragic end when it comes to flat Earth. Okay, I don't like using Wikipedia, but for this instance, I've been following this theory for years and years and years and years. It's been kind of hard to get away from. So a lot of it, I have a basic knowledge of, but I'm going to use Wikipedia for kind of the history, because I know some of that stuff is accurate, but that's where we're going to get away from it. But I'm going to screen share mode so you can see my browser. My face is going to go away. I guess it doesn't have to, but it will. Maybe it doesn't have to. It will. All right. We'll go over to the browser. And flat Earth on Wikipedia, it's going to go through all the information. You know how Wikipedia is. There's tons of stuff in here. But basically, the flat Earth has been around for a long, 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 long time. Before it was even known as flat Earth. Up until about the 6th century BC, it was just the Earth. Like, it wasn't flat around. It was just the Earth. People walked to the ends of it. There was an ocean. When they thought about making boats, they take a boat out in the ocean, and they'd come across more Earth, and they just keep going. As far as they knew, it was just land floating in an ocean. They didn't care if it was flat or round. 6th century BC, though, Pythagoras comes up with the idea in the maths, in the theory, I guess, that the Earth is spherical. It doesn't take off immediately. It's not what everybody believes, and some of those beliefs, although similar, were slightly different. So the early Egyptians and Mesopotamians, they believed the world was portrayed as a disc floating in the ocean. The Israelites believed the earth was a disc floating on water with an arched firmament or a dome that went over the earth, where the sun, the stars, the moon, and the heavens were embedded in that dome. We were protected from them. The Norse and the Germanics believed something similar. The earth was a disc floating in the ocean. There was a tree, a great tree or a pillar that was in the center, like a tree of life, sort of, and that the oceans that surrounded the earth, that were on the outskirts of the earth, were basically protected by a giant serpent or a snake that kept mankind from venturing too far away from land. And then in China, it was more, the earth was flat-ish on a cube, and that the heavens surrounded this, and we were inside of all that. And it was like, it was kind of compared to an egg, and that the earth was like the yolk. And there were several different facets of this throughout history. And with the growing interest in sciences and in maths, the ideas changed, and we came up with the fact that the earth, well, I guess in this instance, we'll just say the theory that the earth is a sphere. It's not completely round. It's a oblique spheroid or something like that. I forgot how this phrase, but it's not exactly round. This is where I start to leave Wikipedia behind, because as soon as it gets to the modern day, not flat earth, but flat earthers, it almost immediately starts to get condescending. But what that did, though, was made me want to go and see what is the modern flat Earth. So I looked up the Flat Earth Society, and there's still, well, the website's still there. The website hasn't been updated on the main page since February 2020. And I was going to go look through all kinds of stuff here, but I decided to go to the wiki and go to the frequently asked questions. I figured this is the best way to learn. So we'll go into wiki, and this brings you to the Flat Earth wiki. And there's frequently asked questions. You got the form of magnitude. You got all kinds of stuff here. It goes into great, great detail. We're not going to go that far in this. I'm trying to keep these podcasts a little bit shorter, in the 15 to 20 minute range at least. So we go into their Flat Earth frequently asked questions. And it gives you a lot of information here. So I kind of like their logo. They got a couple different, like their society logo is pretty cool. And then they got like this kind of United Nations logo here, right? That is the United Nations logo. And it shows Flat Earth. So that, like, is there something to the conspiracy side of this? Who knows? But this gives you a lot of information. Now, when you get to the what is the Flat Earth Society, if this wasn't centered on Flat Earth, I would really be interested in this society, because it basically says the Flat Earth Society is a group actively promoting the Flat Earth movement worldwide, descending from Samuel Shenton's International Flat Earth Research Society and the Universal Zetetic Society. Zeticism is a different way of doing scientific theory. Instead of creating a theory and then working to prove or disprove it, it's kind of the science of observation. So what you observe is what you base your science on. You don't have to prove or disprove it because you're already observing it. And that's Zeticism. It's completely a simplified view of it. It's way more complicated than that, I would assume. But that's the gist of it that I get. So the Universal Zetetic Society before it, we continue the age-old tradition of questioning the round earth doctrine and challenging authorities, acknowledging the link between various unconventional beliefs. The society also occasionally engages in other controversial debates, striving to provide a voice for all free thinkers and zeticists. Not sure about the zeticism. I know I'm murdering it. I'd have to look more into that. It's interesting, and it's a very, it seems like a logical way to deduce facts. You know what you know because you've observed it. But the whole part of engaging in other controversial debates, there's nothing wrong with controversy or with debates, as long as it's civil, right? We can all agree to disagree. We don't all have to believe the same thing. So I'm a proponent of that, and it's trying to provide a voice for all free thinkers. I'm a proponent of that. I think you should think outside the box. I think you should question. So in that aspect, I can kind of get behind it. And this is what makes me, this is what gives me a respect for the people who actually follow this, who are really following. There's, you're always going to have the trolls who say they're flat earthers and they're going to just go hog wild with some of the stuff. That's what gives it a bad name. But if you're really just following this in a way that you want to expand your horizons, I guess, is a no pun intended kind of thing. But I can respect that. So good for them. This also goes into what all the acronyms mean. What evidence do you have? We'll get into that. Is the Flat Earth Theory connected to religion? Short answer, no. People have been to space. Why hasn't that discounted it? They say it doesn't matter. They're faked. Same thing with pictures on the internet and the media of Earth being round. Say it all faked. Then you get into the geography. They show what the flat Earth would look like. Looks a lot like the United Nations flag. So if you're not watching this, if you're listening, basically what you're looking at is a top-down view of a plate, if you picture it that way. And the dead center would be the North Pole. There is no South Pole. All the continents are spread out on flat, so like if you just smushed a globe down and it flattened out, with the ocean surrounding all the continents, and then surrounding that on the outside edge, what we would consider in a globe model to be the South Pole, since there is no South Pole, that has been flattened out, and it is the outer rim of that plate that you'd be looking down at. And it's a giant ice wall that holds everything in. This is similar to the earlier beliefs of either there being a firmament or a dome holding everything in, or that large serpent that was protecting people from going too far. So it's kind of along those lines. But we know there's a South Pole. We know there's ice at Antarctica. But this is all the way around us. It also goes into the kind of how the sun and moon work, how the seasons work, and it goes on with weather, magnetism, and all the way down to gravity. So let's look at this like I usually do from the standpoint of you're crazy. This is craziness. And I've got a lot more information on this because that's where I started with flat Earth. As soon as I saw it, you're crazy. You're out of your mind if you think the Earth is flat. So let's just start. And we're going to use just, obviously, there's a lot more to it than is on this frequently asked questions page. But this is like the skeleton, if you will, of the theory. If you look at the map, and I've seen people draw lines across continents and how air patterns work, like for airplanes. And when you look at that, this almost makes sense. I'm not sure about the Antarctic going all the way around. I've seen claims they say where the no one's ever gone crossed the Antarctica. I haven't looked into that. People have gone down there. I've seen videos of it. I've seen travel shows go down there. People have been there. They don't keep people away. So it's just really hard to get to. So the map, if you stopped right there, you'd be like, okay, that kind of makes sense. Then you look at the physics of it. Now, if you're watching the video, this is going to be easier to see. But if you're listening to it, I'm going to do my best to explain this, but this is going to make very little sense. So according to Flat Earth Theory, if I remember this correctly, the sun and the moon are within the atmosphere at a relatively close distance compared to what they are. They're a lot smaller and cooler, but a lot closer. And they just kind of hover over the flat Earth at a set distance, and they just kind of fly around the plate is basically what they do. And they show like the sun and how the light falls from the sun on the Earth as it goes around. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You really gotta see this. It's really bizarre. But there's no mechanism for it. Like, what's keeping the sun and the moon up? What's keeping them from falling? And you'll see in a minute here when I talk about how they explain gravity, how this makes very little sense. But it's just wow. Like, that makes zero sense to me. So if just the idea of flat Earth and the way it's shaped didn't get you, this probably is where you're going to stop believing anything they say. And then they show how where the sun would be, I guess, orbiting, floating over the Earth. It changes depending on the time of year. There's no information on the like why it does that. I guess it's programmed to do so. I don't really know. They show where it is in the spring and the summer and the fall. It's all northern hemisphere because it's not. They say northern hemisphere, but if it's flat Earth, there's no such thing as a hemisphere. They basically talk about how magnetic fields are, since there's no South Pole and magnets can't be unipolar, how do magnets work? And their explanation is it's not a problem because of ring magnets. Yep, that's their explanation, ring magnets. They then talk about, as a passenger in an aircraft, how is it I can see the curvature of the Earth? And they say quite simply, you cannot. I'm not sure if that's true or not. I didn't really look into that. I don't know. It could have something to do with the way the windows are shaped. Like they say, that's very possible that you can see, you think you're seeing a curvature, but you're not. I've heard this number before. It says that if the Earth were round, one would need to observe it from an altitude of 60,000 feet. Keep that number in mind because it's going to come in very important here towards the end. 60,000 feet to see the curvature of the Earth. Okay. So then you wouldn't see it from a plane. All right. I guess that's fair. They ask how weather is created. They say that weather patterns are actually created by the land itself. For example, rain shadow. What is a rain shadow? Rain shadow is where somewhere on the eastern side of a mountain range, because weather and clouds travel from the west generally, is deprived of rain not just once but nearly all the time. This is because the clouds are forced upwards by the mountains blocking their path and becoming cooler and condensed, meaning water droplets form and it rains on before the mountain, thereby not raining on the leeward side. Our weather patterns are created by geographic position, like the tropics being humid. They are surrounded by water, which is constantly warmed and evaporated. That's not an answer to the question. That's not the answer to the question. That's like, why is the sky blue? And your answer is because it's not red. That doesn't answer the question. If planets are round, why isn't the Earth? Because the Earth's not a planet. The Earth's uniqueness, fundamental differences, and centrality makes it any comparison to other nearby celestial bodies insufficient. Like comparing basketballs to the court which they bounce. So basically, you're saying the Earth isn't a planet, and everything else revolves around the Earth. Then comes the big one. This is the one that absolutely just kills it for me. If I wasn't already out the door, this is the last one that would just kick me right out. Why doesn't gravity pull the Earth into a spherical shape? So what they say is that the Earth is on its plate, and it's moving upwards at all times. So the ground is down, sky is up, right? We're constantly moving in the upward direction at an ever-accelerating rate at 32 feet per second squared, and that is what causes gravity, because we're moving up. My question is, if we're moving at an constantly accelerating up at a rate of 32 feet per second squared, how have we not hit the speed of light yet? Because the very next thing they say is that objects cannot exceed the speed of light. Doesn't this mean that the Earth can't accelerate forever? And their answer is, due to special relativity, which I don't think can exist without a spherical Earth, this is not the case. At this point, many readers will question the validity of any answers which uses advanced, intimidating-sounding physics terms to explain a position. However, it is true. The relevant equation is velocity. Okay, so it gives you the whole thing. One, we'll find that in this equation can never exceed or equal 1. That means velocity can never reach the speed of light, regardless of how long one accelerates and the rate of acceleration. But you can't have a constant acceleration because you don't. You lost me. We'd have to hit the speed of light at some point. And it would have been a while. It wouldn't take billions of years. It would not happen. Or we'd have to slow down. Or expand. Or shrink. Or something. It can't. It just can't happen. So all these things just make it seem crazy. You go onto YouTube. You look at some of these videos. I saw a guy. I watched him because his videography was really cool. He had some kind of Nikon like point and shoot camera, but had a huge lens on it. And he could do some really cool, like long distance videography and photos. And he would do these videos, and it'd be like proof that the Earth is flat. And it'd be 20 minutes of him video recording the moon. And then every once in a while, you'd see like a caption come up and be like, did you see that? Proof. But there was nothing. It was just the moon. There was nothing going on. Like, I could videotape the moon. It doesn't mean the Earth's flat. I don't know. I don't know what the guy was thinking. And I see a lot of videos like that on YouTube. And I had to stop watching because my feed was just full of them. But yeah, I mean, some of them, it just makes it look absolutely crazy. But you got to think, it can't just be an idea, right? There's got to be some kind of proof. So we go back up to the top of this page, and they talk about what evidence do you have? And they talk about the Bedford level experiment. And I'm going to go, I've got the page already pulled up. It's the link here. And it says for the best example of this. So basically, Old Bedford River is a man-made river. I think it's somewhere in the range of 10 plus miles. It's like a canal. It's just straight and level, right? Because it's a canal. And I'm guessing it was used for irrigation, or maybe they use it as a canal to move things from one place to another. We have that a lot here in Pennsylvania. What this guy did, his name was Samuel Burley Robotham, and he was the president of the Flat Earth Society. And in the summer of 1838, he basically waded into the water with a telescope, I'm assuming on some kind of a tripod or a pole or something, and he set it at 8 inches above the water level. And then another person got into a rowboat that had a 5-foot mast on it. And they started at one end, which starts at a bridge, and then 6 miles away, there's another bridge. So the guy in the rowboat rowed away from him for 6 miles and went to the other bridge while he watched him through the telescope. Now, if the Earth is round, at 6 miles, he should have crested the horizon and disappeared, but he never did. Right there, you think, well, that's proof the Earth is flat. Saw him go the whole way. You can see him at the bottom of the bridge. There's a problem with that, though. At 8 inches above water level, let's do a little basic math first. So he assumed that the guy should be at least the top of the mast should be about 11 feet below the horizon. So you can find Earth curvature calculators. I found this one at omnicalculator.com, and it allows me to put in the distance to the object, what level your eyesight is at. It gives you the distance to the horizon and how far below the horizon that object should be. So at 8 inches above the water level, the distance to the horizon is only 1 mile. So the closer you get to the surface of the Earth, the closer the horizon is, because it's just the edge of where you can see. So at 6 miles, at 8 inches above the water, the object should be 16.673 feet below the horizon. In here, when you talk about the Bedford experiment, he says it should have been about 11 feet below, which would be accurate because it's a 5-foot mast. 16 feet minus 5 feet should be about 11 feet. So they saw this as absolute proof that the Earth is flat. Years later, 1870, another gentleman, named John Hampton, offered a wager that he could show by repeating Robotham's experiment that the Earth is flat. They noted a naturalist and qualified surveyor, Alfred Russel Wallace, to accept the wager. Sorry. So the the surveyor said, well, look, at that level, looking, the atmosphere is going to curve the light. So you're not actually seeing the boat, you're seeing a mirage of the boat. If you want to be technical, everything we see is a mirage because we just see the light reflection. That's how our eyes work. We don't actually see the item, we see the light bouncing off of it. So you're seeing the light getting bent around the surface of the Earth. He said, you got to do this a little bit higher. So they put up poles, I think about 13 feet was what I read in one article. And I'll put the links down in the description. And they basically said, nope, there, you can see the curvature here. So this is Wallace won the bet. Hampton, however, published a pamphlet alleging that Wallace had cheated him and sued for his money. Several protracted court cases ensued, and the result that Hampton was imprisoned for libel. But the cost also determined that Wallace had indeed cheated. So who was right? In 1904, they hired a commercial photographer who used a telephoto lens to take a picture of the one bridge from the other. They stood at 2 feet. They had the camera 2 feet above the water, and then they put a target down at the water level, and he was able to see it with his telephoto lens, so they say. Now, could that have been the bending of the light? Possibly. But I would imagine that in today's day and age with cameras and, you know, just still cameras and video cameras and all this stuff, surveying equipment, you'd think that this would be, if this was flat, you should be able to go to this river and do it. You should be able to do this experiment. And I checked on YouTube because I thought for sure there'd be somebody who lives in England who's like, there's flat and has gone there and does this like every other day just to prove it. But I haven't found it. On Google Maps, you can actually go to this Welney, England, I believe. You can just look up the old Bedford River and you can find it. It's still there. So this experiment should be able to be replicated, but I don't see anybody doing it. So if that's your proof, why isn't somebody replicating this right now? I don't know. They talk in here too. They also talk about the photos that were taken, but there's no photos of it. No one actually shows those photos as evidence. So I don't know. I've heard of other experiments like this where they put posts out into the ocean and they measure them and they say that they can still see them. But I haven't actually seen anybody prove it. And I'd like to. Like if it is flat, I'd like to see it proven. So I guess now you guys start asking, how is this a conspiracy theory? As we talked about in the last episode, a conspiracy theory, at least the modern interpretation of it, is people being lied to by other people in power to subvert them, oppress them, rob them, cheat them, whatever. What is the possible gain of the government to make the people think that the earth is flat? So to return back to the Wikipedia page, to find out how this qualifies as a conspiracy theory, this says, it's got a spot right here, conspiracy theory. Members of Flat Earth Society and other flat earthers claim that NASA and other government agencies conspire to fabricate evidence that the earth is spherical. According to the most widely spread version of the current flat earth theory, NASA is guarding the Antarctic ice wall that surrounds Earth. Flat earthers argue that NASA photoshops its satellite images based on observations that the color of the oceans change from image to image and that continents seem to be in different places. The publicly perpetuated image is a keep up through a large scale practice of compartmentalization according to which only a select number of individuals have knowledge about the truth. This does not explain what the gain would be, and why would NASA, in the history of the planet, NASA is recent. And why would they be charged with the ISA? Is it not the National Aeronautics and Space Administration? Is it the National Antarctic Shelf Administration? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why they would be lying about this. I'm not sure how it would make a difference. Maybe that's not what makes this a conspiracy theory. And to look at this another way, we're going to talk about the common thread I mentioned last week about team sports mentality and how this feeds into a lot of conspiracy theories. So last time I talked about how conspiracy theories have kind of done a 180 throughout history of being originally about, you know, the people in power being overthrown by someone else. And that was the conspiracy. It was about that the power shifting from the incumbent power to someone overthrowing them, to being more about the government lying to the people to either protect the truth or subvert them or something like that. So in the current thought of what this makes no sense as a conspiracy theory, but what if that's not the case? What if that's not what the conspiracy is, but it's more that this particular theory, this idea of flat earth is a ripe ground to make the people who believe it seems so utterly crazy that it creates a definitive split between groups. Because I see it. You see people who talk about flat earth and immediately people start rolling their eyes and they get looked at as if they're stupid or they're crazy or they're just out of their minds. And it starts to create these teams, right? The flat earthers and the sphericists or whatever they call it, roundies, right? The flat earthers and the roundies. I don't know if that's the name they call people who believe in spherical earth, but that's what I'm using. So you got these two teams. And the more you divide people, the easier it is to tell what team they're on, right? Because they're gonna fight for that team. And it like I said last time, it doesn't matter if it's a conspiracy theory or if it's the kind of you know, soda-like. People get fanatic about these. And in this instance, this team sports mentality turned deadly. This one is sad. And I don't want to belittle anything that happened here, because it is a tragedy, and it's just sad. So on the main page here, there is the last post was on February 23rd of 2020. And it just says, Mad Mike Hughes, an untimely departure. I'm going to bring up an actual news story about it. It gives a lot more information. This is a BBC news article about Mike Hughes. And so it says right here, a U.S. Daredevil pilot has been killed during an attempted launch of a homemade rocket in the California desert. Mad Mike Hughes, 64, crash-landed his steam-powered rocket shortly after takeoff near Barstow on Saturday. This goes on to talk a little bit about what he was doing. He was hoping to prove the flat Earth theory. And Saturday's launch was reportedly filmed as part of Homemade Astronauts, a new TV series about amateur rocket makers to be aired on the U.S. Science Channel. The project had been carried out on a tight budget. I looked this up. There is a series called Homemade Astronauts. It's available on Amazon Prime is the first thing I saw. That's not an ad. I'm just saying where I saw it. So I don't know. It said season one. I don't know if this was a part of season one, if there's more than one. But with the help of partner Waldo Stakes, Hughes was trying to reach an altitude of 5,000 feet. Now, remember before we were talking about the Flat Earth Society says that you can't see the curvature of the Earth because you got to be at least 60,000 feet. So he wouldn't have been able to prove anything even if he would have made 5,000 feet because he's well, well below that threshold. While riding his steam-powered rocket, he made a steam-powered rocket. First of all, that is incredible that he could get to 5,000 feet. It's incredible he could launch a steam-powered rocket. That's actually pretty incredible. In video of the launch, a parachute can be seen trailing behind the rocket, apparently deployed too early, seconds after takeoff. So it's a tragic end to the story there, because this guy believed so much that either in the actual Earth being flat, or just he believed so much in the team of Flat Earth that he wanted to prove it, that he got into a homemade rocket. I think that news article said it only cost him like $18,000. That sounds like a lot of money, but to build a rocket for $18,000 and then launched it and had a failure and died, which is sad. Massive respect for the guy for having that much conviction for something he believed in to do that. I don't think I would. I'm pretty sure I can pretty much tell you right now, I would not get in a homemade rocket. Nope, not me. It's a weird one, right? There's no real reason for any government agencies to tell us that the Earth is flat instead of round. I'm not sure how that would be beneficial to anybody. I mean, I'd be pretty stoked if they came to me and said, hey, everything you know is wrong. The Earth is flat and we're on a plate and we're going up a lot. It would change a lot about how you think about everything. One of the biggest divisions that you see in this conspiracy theory is based on the evidence, which it should be, I guess. Do we really have evidence that the Earth is round? I've never been up there, so all I got is what I've been shown. So I don't absolutely know. I don't know that's flat. I don't know that's round. I don't know that I care. It doesn't really make a difference. But when you look in some of these forums and you look at some of these videos and people are really pushing their idea, this is a big win in my eyes for the flat earthers. If it's not about so much the Earth being flat, it's more about their idea and their right to push their boundaries in believing, then they've won a big one here. Because you see a lot of times the argument is the flat earth community will say, well, we use these equations to come up with this answer which proves that the Earth is flat. And then the roundies will say, well, that's not the right math. You got to use this equation. You can't make up your own math to suit your agenda. If you use social media at all, you have without a doubt seen, probably a couple times a week, a post that will show you some kind of fairly simple equation, a basic math equation, and it'll say, what's the answer? Use your brain, don't use a, you know, what's the answer? And if you look at the comments at the answers, you will, of course, you'll see somebody that says that the answer is peanut butter because they're just, you know, trolling people. But you'll see two camps of thought, right, will come pretty much immediately obvious. It'll be one answer or the other. You'll have your outliers, but it'll generally be these two answers. And when they try to describe why their answer is right, it all comes down to how they're taught to do math. Now, when I grew up, we had an order of operations for solving math problems, which now no longer applies. A basic core function of math no longer applies, and it's done differently, and it gives drastically different answers. So you can change math to suit your agenda. I'm not sure. I didn't ever really looked into why these equations have changed and why the thought process and the order of operation has changed and how it's been justified to have taught generations of people one way and now suddenly you change it. I don't know. I don't know why that happened. I never researched it, but it has happened. Math has changed. So to tell somebody you can't change the math to suit your needs, that's ridiculous because it's happening in our society right now. Is to me, that's a big win for the free thinkers. Hey, we came up with a different way of looking at this. You're saying it's wrong because of what you're taught, but now what you're taught, you're being told was wrong. Keep an open mind on things is ultimately the answer I come to with this theory. Keep an open mind. 99% of us will never know what the Earth looks like from high enough to see if there's a curve or not. 100% of the people who came before the 60s, well, they never knew because they never left the planet unless there was some weird civilization before that went to space. That's a difference. That's a story for a different show. The ultimate answer to me, I'm not trying to prove or disprove any of these conspiracy theories. I'm trying to look at them from multiple angles and see if there's something else I can learn. And what I learned from this one is keeping an open mind and not just discarding everything that's said by a group because you don't agree with their outcome is wrong. You can learn from anybody. I can learn from anybody. Even if you don't learn their truth, you may learn something new about your truth or how you perceive your truth. And ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what we should all be striving for. So I'm going to wrap this one up with a big non-answer because I don't know what the answer is. I'm pretty sure the Earth is round, but until I can go to space and look back at it, I don't know for sure. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Check me out in all the different places you can see the podcast. If you want to support the podcast, that would be awesome. You can on primitiveintelligence.com, there's a link to some t-shirts. They got the Primitive Intelligence logo on there. It says Think More on it. There's a couple different versions of those or a sticker. If not, just enjoy listening to the podcast. I'll see you in the next episode. And until then, think more.